Okay. I'd like to ask you to turn to your in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to open this morning's Bible study. You know, folks, I remember a time when my brother and his wife lost their son. Your son got himself in a little trouble and didn't heed to the words of an officer, and the officer shot him.
Wow.
And I remember the sadness that was going through Lee and Shirley's heart, as it was on all of the family. But one of the things that just stood right out to me was, you know, our pastor and his wife lost one of their children. Yeah. We've heard the story before. We heard the sadness of how Gene held his son in his hands, in his arms. Yet, our Lord brought Gene and Judy through that very thing, if for no other reason, and I'm sure there must have been other reasons, that Gene and Judy would be right there when Lee and Shirley needed the comfort. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 with me, if you would, please. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, all of our troubles. This is not just the troubles of the world around us. This is the troubles that are within us too. We edify each other when we go to our brothers and sisters in Christ and tell them in private, someone to lean on about the sin that's in us. And they can edify us by encouraging us to turn away from the sin and turn to Christ, turn to our Lord and Savior, who has put that sin away for us already. So it's talking about the troubles of everything. Paul has been troubled because he's preaching the gospel. He's being pursued by the religious leaders of that day in this very moment, and he's being troubled a lot by that very thing, but he's also troubled by his own sin within him. We all know Paul has declared himself the chief of sinners, as you and I do. And he says, who comforted us, Christ, our Lord and Savior, who comforted us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble, are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. These men, these apostles, turn over to, if you would now, Luke chapter 22. These apostles are about to be troubled quite a bit. Peter's troubles are going to be put right before him. The Lord is going to tell him that he will deny the Lord three times before the cock crows twice. Our Lord proves over and over and over again that he is Lord of all. And what we have been looking at here in chapter 22, verses 1 through 13, is a very example of that very thing. We're continuing our study of Peter's walk with Christ, learning the things of Christ, and our Lord is preparing his chosen preachers the things that they will need to know as they go out and preach the gospel. As they go out and preach the gospel of peace to all of those around. I can share with you these wonderful things of the gospel because they're wonderful to me. They mean so much to me. And I can tell you how much they're going to mean to you if you are of the Lord's.
Yes.
If the Lord, if you belong to the Lord, your heart will be filled with joy knowing that our Lord has put away all of our sin. That He's done all that work for us. Our troubles are taken care of. Our warfare is accomplished. These men must learn these very things that they're going to go out and preach. The gospel of Christ and Him crucified. In these first 13 verses of the 22nd chapter of Luke, we have seen in our last two studies a theme. In verse 1 through 3, we read this: "Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief of priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan unto Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being the number of 12. We see the timeline is established. This is no accident of what's happening before us. This is no accident of what's happening before these apostles. And our Lord speaks to us in His Word as we read these words. This is our Lord speaking to you and I. This is a love letter to us. Yeah. He's telling us these things are exactly when they were supposed to happen. The feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh. It's close by. Isn't it amazing that our Lord that this unleavened bread, this feast of it, is a picture of who our Savior is? It's time for the feast, the Passover, of which we looked into God's Word and we saw this point to these things point to our Lord Himself. He who came to fulfill what His chosen people could not do. In verse 2, we saw the world's religion, man's religious leaders, how they sought how they would kill this one who dared to call them sinners, this one who threatened their power over the people. And then in verse 3 through 6, the ultimate betrayal, one of the 12, one who is chosen of God, the son of perdition. And we looked last week at how our Lord and Savior is the one who chooses even the wicked in the day of evil. His purpose is accomplished. He is God. That never gets old to me. I love to hear that the one who opened my eyes, brought my heart, cut my heart away and gave me a heart to believe on Him is the God, ruler of all things. That's my only peace.
Yeah.
I don't know that I could go through what you've gone through, Daryl, not knowing who the Lord is.
I couldn't. But when they told me I had cancer, I knew the Lord was the right one to go to.
Amen.
And to fall on my knees before Him and ask Him why. And it doesn't make any difference why. Let's just get through it. Yeah.
I hear you. So these next 7 verses, they continue the very same thing that we read in the first 3. The sovereignty of God. Look at verses 7 through 13 with me. Then came the day of the unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. Oh, how I love that phrase, the Passover must be killed. And He sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat." And they said unto Him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" Now check this out. Oh, this is so good. And He said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." And they went and found as He had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Look at those wonderful words. The detail our Lord gives of what will happen. A man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Don't even say anything to him. Just follow him home. In today's world, we'd be looking back going, who are those guys following us? What are those two guys following me around wearing that suit? You know? Don't worry about him. He won't say anything. Just follow him home. And then ask him, where's your guest room? You come around here, start asking me where my guest room is, I'm going to wonder why you're asking and why you're doing it. But no, this guy just said, it's upstairs. It's right up there. Oh, and it's all furnished for you and everything's ready. See how the Lord does things, folks? This is exactly the same detail that our Lord says when He says, "I know every hair on your head." Every hair in your head is numbered, even though Daryl didn't have much of it left.
Still more than Mike's.
I wasn't going to say anything, Mike. I'm getting there. My numbers are diminishing also. But you see the point? See the good news? God has loved us with an everlasting love. And when he says, I shall never leave you nor forsake you, can we not take that lock, stock, and barrel right there? Is that not just a sure thing to you and I? When God declares something is coming, something is going to come to pass. I tell you, it will come to pass. These disciples, as all of God's people, must see the truth in this. The God of glory is not a God of maybes. We do not lean on maybes. The ground that you and I stand on is rock solid ground, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't get no more rock solid than that. Our Christ is the solid rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Brother Don Fortner wrote this about these first 13 verses. He says, how sweet, how comforting. I'll bet you Brother Don Fortner leans on these very words right now as he is home with his wife, enjoying what time he has left. I hope he's enjoying it. I pray he is. How comforting, how delightful, he says, this is to behold the chief priests and the scribes as God's instruments for the purpose of bringing Christ into the very situation where our sins must have brought us. But for his intervention, though they utterly hated him, they brought him forward on a mission for which he came into this world, to save his people from their sins, being made both sin and a curse for us. There was no other means whereby we could have been redeemed. And God sovereignly overruled and used the most wicked deeds of the most wicked men to accomplish it. Fortner closes by saying this, I say this is sweet, comforting, and delightful to behold, just as it was here, so it is now. Our God overrules and uses the most malicious devices and the most wicked men to bring his purposed blessings to his chosen people. End of quote. Folks, can we not see here in these last few verses that when the time came for the Passover to be kept, everything was made ready? When chosen sinners are called by the Spirit of God to eat the true Passover, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they find everything ready for them. Remember the day the Lord first preached his gospel to you through a man in a pulpit and you heard the truth? What was it you had to do?
Nothing.
Listen. The whole feast was already prepared in our Lord and Savior, was it not? All things are made ready by divine arrangement. What a wonderful display that we have in these verses of our Savior's absolute dominion over all things and all men. The disciples found a man by divine direction, who by divine command provided everything that was needed. All things were made ready for keeping of the feast. A lamb was provided. The lamb was slain and burnt upon an altar for the Lord God and for these disciples. Its blood was sprinkled at the foot of the altar. The lamb was brought into the house where it was to be eaten, and the lamb was roasted and eaten with bitter herbs. That was the process of that feast. And it was very down to detail of what you had to do.
Yeah.
And they followed it. Exactly how it had to be done. Our Lord did everything exactly and perfectly as it should be done. In all these things, we see a close parallel with Christ our Passover, who was sacrificed for us, and of our faith in him. Four times we were reminded in these 13 verses that the evening before our Savior's crucifixion was appointed. It says, the day when the Passover must be killed. It also says, then came the day. Are we not thankful that that day came as it should? When it should. Aren't you? In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. By divine arrangement, the Lamb of God died at the time when the Passover lamb was being slain. The death of Christ was the fulfillment of that Passover. He was the true sacrifice to which every Passover lamb had been pointing to for 1,500 years. What the death of the Lamb had been to Israel in Egypt, our Lord's death is to us in reality. The safety which the blood of the Passover Lamb had provided to Israel, His blood provides an abundance of safety for believing sinners. Blessed be the God forever, Christ our Passover, who is sacrificed for us. Charles Spurgeon wrote this. He said, "Notice how carefully our Lord respected the ordinances of that dispensation so long as it lasted. The Passover was an essential rite of the Jewish faith, and our Lord therefore duly observed it. Learn hence," Charles writes, "dear brethren, to esteem very highly the ordinances of God's house. Let baptism and the Lord's Supper keep their proper places. You do them serious injury if you lift them out of their right place and try to make some saving ordinances out of them. But in avoiding that evil, do not fall into the opposite error of neglecting them either. What Christ has ordained, it is for His people to maintain with care until He comes again. And if He kept up the Passover even when in Himself it was already on the point of being fulfilled, let us keep up the ordinances with which He has enjoined upon us. If any of you have neglected either of them, let me remind you of His gracious words. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And He also said this do ye in remembrance of me." So I close this morning. We read verses 8 through 13, and it could happily have been included in our study on Friday night. These very verses that we read point to the sovereignty of God. Our God rules all things, folks, and it is a wonder that the room, and is it any wonder that the room was prepared, the feast was prepared, and that all things were ready? Was not our salvation determined before the world was?
Yeah.
Was it not sought, as our Father did, that it was done? Could not we say that all things were prepared in the mind of God before anything was? Lord willing, next week we will consider the table of remembrance. Lord willing. I hope you don't mind this week's study being so short, but I did want to save our next part of the verses for our table of remembrance. Next week is our first of the month service. I open it to all the brothers and sisters, and I will mention this again from the pulpit during services, to come to me after services today with ideas whether we should close or be open. I do believe that we should try to find a way to come to the table.